Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello there. You're listening to Luke's Podcast, Luke's English Podcast, to be exact. And normally on the podcast, I have an agenda for an episode. I'm like, today in the episode, we're going to talk about, you know, eggs or something. I haven't done an episode about eggs, but that was just an example. That's a bit loud, isn't it, the music? I'm doing a bit of DJing while I'm talking to you here, okay? Don't hold it against me. Don't judge my musical tastes. Please, just sit back, relax, listen to the sounds of Luke's English Podcast. They're coming at you through your eardrums. Normally on the podcast, I have some sort of an agenda. Like, I'm going to teach you about, you know, grammar or phrasal verbs. I don't normally do grammar. You know what I'm saying? Normally I have some sort of organized program. Not on this one. No. This one's going to be a free-forming sort of jazz, blues, funk exploration. We're going to take a trip, a journey into space. Space, okay? What I'm saying is that I've been out. I did a comedy show. It was okay. It wasn't outstanding. It was all right. It was above average, let's say. It was good. I got laughs. I'm satisfied. I've been out. I'm back now. I have consumed beer. I've also consumed a burger and chips. So food has been eaten. Don't worry, I'm fine. I'm healthy. I've drank a reasonable amount of beer, and for a British man, such as myself, I wouldn't say that I was drunk. I'm just comfortable, okay? I'm relaxed. And normally I don't do podcasts in these conditions, to be perfectly honest with you. Usually I do podcast in a kind of like, okay, now I'm going to do a podcast. I'm going to plan it. I'm going to organize it as much as possible. I'm going to try to be funny, but only to the extent to which I am attempting to break down the affective filter which can block people from learning English. You know, I'm using humor as a pedagogical or pedagogical or whatever you want to say. I'm using humor as an educational tool, as a way of facilitating the learning process. That's normally the logic that I go through when I am doing episodes of the podcast during the daytime when the sun is up, okay? But now the sun is down. Burger is eaten. Burger has been eaten, and beer has been consumed, and now I'm free to just muck around and play around and fool around on the podcast, and that's what I'm going to do. Okay, so I'm playing a bit of music. There's a bit of sort of space age sort of funk coming through the speakers, coming at you, and I'm just going to sort of wax lyrical, as it were. That's another way of saying just sort of talk, just ramble. Okay, I'm just going to groove out some vocal sort of word jazz, let's call it, just for fun, okay? And that's fine, there's nothing wrong with that, that's certainly not a crime. I think while I'm doing that, I'm going to go through my, a bit of music, I'm just going to go through my hard drive, and I'm going to see what kind of stuff I can bring up as a way of providing a little bit of background to the words and sounds that are coming out of my face right now into this microphone. Somehow they're being transferred. The words are being transformed into some sort of digital signal or some kind of waveform, and they're then going into my handy recorder, my Zoom H4N, which is digitizing everything. It's amazing, isn't it? It's digitizing all the stuff, and the result is this slightly odd episode of Luke's English Podcast. Let's play the... I'm going to play you this music. Oh, that sounds very naughty. Wait a minute, it's too loud. Okay, so you might be thinking at this point, oh, this moody electronic music, Luke, is the sort of ambience that we don't normally experience on the podcast. Normally everything's all nice and it's a bit like the BBC, but without rules. But this is like we've taken a journey into sort of some sort of dark technological underworld in which there are robots everywhere, and robots that might not have our best intentions at heart. This sounds like the music of evil androids, I think you'll agree. And it's slightly sinister, and yet strangely pleasant at the same time. That's an odd combination, I think you'll agree. Maybe these are robots from the future who've come back in time in a spaceship, and the doors of the spaceship have opened, and they've welcomed the community of Luke's English Podcast into the spaceship, and they're now attempting to communicate with us using weird digital music, and this is what it sounds like. This is the sound of aliens from the future trying to speak to you in their alien language, okay? That is alien for, hello, would you like a cup of tea? See, that's alien for, sorry, do you not drink tea in your culture? It got awkward, didn't it, for a second? It was like the equivalent of an awkward alien conversation. This is a slightly random and free-flowing, crazy episode of Luke's English Podcast, okay? That's it. Don't expect any kind of language input exactly, beyond just the words which I'm presenting for your ears at this point. Don't expect me to teach stuff, okay? I'm on my Friday evening off. As I've said, I went out, did a show, had a few drinks, chatted with my friends. I'm back in the flat, and I thought, hey, I'm just going to mess around on the old MP3 computer interface, and I'm going to produce an episode of Luke's English Podcast that is just free form. Okay, good. I've done the justification. I'm now free to just let myself kind of wander through my music collection, and I'll just see what we come up with, okay? So, okay, let's have a little bit of this. Normally, when you're DJing, it's appropriate to kind of like leave no space between the tracks. I mean, these are the basics of DJing. It's meant to be seamless, a seamless blend of music, and it all links together. But I mean, I could do that. I could probably do that. I've got the technology available to me. It's just that I'm not. I'm just literally going through my hard drive, finding moody electronic music with which to, disturb you slightly. This is a track called Pulp Fiction by Alex Reese, and this is a classic drum and bass anthem from the mid-90s. It's probably not your kind of music. I mean, this is a bit specialist, really. But when I was a teenager, this is the sort of thing that would really get me going. And actually, I've realised that you're only getting one speaker as well. You're only getting, like, the left speaker. For some reason, I don't know, it's just a weird one. Anyway, I'm going to keep on rolling here with some more music, and okay, let's go with this. This can maybe be a little bit more positive sounding. Yes. So I'm drinking a glass of water. It's very important, don't you think, to keep yourself hydrated? And this is what they tell us. They say to you, whatever you do, you've got to make sure you keep hydrated. There's nothing worse in the modern world than being dehydrated. Oh, no. You can't be dehydrated. No way. So I'm drinking the water, just keep myself hydrated. I've got messages coming in on my phone, which I'm going to have a little look at here. I'm multitasking. Whoever said that men can't multitask? I can multitask. I mean, only certain tasks. I think it's usually women who say that men can't multitask. And what they mean, really, is that men can't listen to their girlfriends or wives and do something else at the same time. Men are perfectly capable of multitasking in other situations. We can do two things at the same time. We can play computer games and drink beer at the same time, for example. There you go, that's multitasking, right? But what they can't do is listen to an important message from their girlfriend while doing something else. For example, if you're a bloke and you're in the supermarket trying to buy some stuff and your girlfriend calls you, you will have to stop. I mean, that maybe that's just true for me, but I find that when my girlfriend calls me and I'm in the supermarket, I just stop what I'm doing right there. And I just stand just motionless in the supermarket, just focusing on the telephone call, right? Because if I miss something important in the conversation, that could come back to me later on. Because women are very good at communicating. I mean, they are, on their own terms, they're very good communicators. Because women don't only listen and talk, they also remember. You know what I mean? So in any conversation that you have with a lady, you have to remember that whatever you say is being recorded and may be used against you in a court of law later on in another conversation, maybe an argument at some point. So that's why men have to, like, you know, they can't listen to you and do something else at the same time. So be reasonable, ladies, and remember that men, you know, they're doing their best under the circumstances. They are only men after all. Now, I'm going to try and do, like, some special trickery here so that I can DJ properly. You might be thinking, Luke, I thought you were into, like, the Beatles and stuff like that. Well, I am. I have a broad, eclectic musical taste. A lot of it's this sort of deep house, groovy sort of future funk stuff from Mars, but I do obviously love the Beatles and the Stones and Led Zeppelin and that kind of thing. I'm going to see what I can dig up for you now. I like the rare stuff, you know, I like the rare music that you might not hear on the radio, but okay, alright, let's have a little bit of this then. Okay, I'm looking for some rock music, because rock music, listen to me, I sound like a middle-aged grandfather or something. Oh. All right, so let's have a bit of that. This is the Arctic Monkeys. Great band and good lyrics. This song is about sort of like when, for some reason, your girlfriend's in a bad mood and it makes life a bit difficult. And it could be great, because a lot of the time you spend sort of beautiful times hugging and cuddling and just having a nice time, but then every now and then she's just got the face on. I've seen your frown, and it's like looking down the barrel of a gun, and it goes off. And how come all these words? Oh, there's a very pleasant side to you, a side I much prefer. It's one that's laughs and jokes around. Remember cuddles in the kitchen, yeah, to get things off the ground. And it was up, up and away. Oh, but it's really hard to remember that on a day like today, when you're all argumentative and you've got the face on. Now that money boom, oh, I'm in trouble again, aren't I? I thought as much, cause you turned over there. Silent disappointment face, the one that I can't bear. Well, can't we just laugh and joke around? Remember cuddles in the kitchen, yeah, to get things off the ground. And it was up, up and away. Oh, but it's really hard to remember that on a day like today, when you're all argumentative and you've got the face on. And yeah, I'm sorry I was late, but I missed the train, and then the traffic was a state. And I can't be asked to carry on in this debate that reoccurs. Or when you say I don't care, but of course I do, yeah, I clearly do. Yeah.
solution, yeah, to get things off the ground. And it was up, up and away. Oh, but it's really hard to remember that on a day like today when you're old. Argumentative, and you've got the face on.
That was the Arctic Monkeys with Mardi Bum, a song all about sort of those times when you might have an argument with your girlfriend. You might be thinking, why are you playing that song, Luke? And why are you talking about multitasking? Have you had an argument with your girlfriend? No, I haven't. All right? Not tonight, anyway, but I have, you know, in my life. Who hasn't? But no, don't worry. I'm not in the doghouse, as they say. If you're in the doghouse, it means that you've had an argument with your partner and they've, like, sort of thrown you out. Like, either they've thrown you out of the house or they've just sort of... They're just in a bad mood with you and you've been sort of rejected or something. I mean, it's not over. It's not finished. It's just that you're in that person's bad books, in the doghouse, they say. Yes. Now, I'm going to play something else. This is a bit of comedy, and this is from Bill Bailey, who is a really great British stand-up comedian who does lots of music and stuff. And in this clip, he's talking about British cop shows. You know, in America, the cop shows are all sort of like dynamic and cool. You know, like he was a cop. He was a lone maverick who, you know, burned the rule book and that sort of thing. Well, British cop shows, it's a different kind of story. They're not quite as cool. Let's hear Bill Bailey talking about British cop shows.
Look out, he's got a shooter. That's our gritty realism, isn't it? He's got a shooter. It's not even a proper word, is it? Shooter, shooty, shoot, shoot. I mean, what? When somebody's got a knife, you don't say, look out, he's got a stabber. He's got a stabber. You know, the cop goes in there, oh, it's terrible in there, Sergeant. Don't want to go in there. There's about four of them deaded. All have been deaded. One of them deaded with a shooter. Two deaded with a stabby thing like that. We went in with hissy things, clicky metal rings with a key. He came running out, got away on a...
All right, you're probably thinking, what the hell's going on there? Don't worry, I just played that to you completely out of context. There's no chance that you can get it. But he's basically talking about the fact that in sort of British cop shows, they're always sort of cockneys, and they always use certain types of language. Like, watch out, Sarge, he's got a shooter. A shooter in a British cop show means a gun. Okay, a shooter, and then he starts making jokes about, well, you know, it's not like if someone's got a knife, you don't say, watch out, he's got a stabber. No. Yes. Okay, no, yes. Which one is it, Luke? Oh, never mind. On a Friday night, sometimes no and yes, they get a little bit mixed up, wouldn't you say? Yes, I think so. I'm not sure how long I can keep this up for, but let's keep going. Let's roll on through the night while we just have a little further exploration into my hard drive. Maybe I should forget about the music and just try and talk to you like some kind of late night radio show. You're listening to Luke's late night podcast, and we've just been covering such topics as multitasking and having arguments with your partner and being thrown into the doghouse, not literally. I've been an English teacher for 14 years, and I've experienced all kinds of different scenarios in my classes. Some of them are pretty ridiculous. I mean, from the point of view of the teacher, they are anyway. Like, you know, you have to deal with different cultures and stuff like that. Some people from different places are very sort of deferential. They're very respectful of the teacher. They admire the status of the teacher. Some students sort of have a different attitude to those sorts of things. So it can mean that, you know, some people in the class deal with you in one way and others deal with you in other ways. Some of the students will be very punctual. They'll come on time. Other students will sort of stroll in, at, you know, whenever they want to, it feels like. So I've had experiences. I remember once I had this guy, where was he from? He was from Iran. And I think he had like a real sense of like respect for the teacher, to the point where it really sort of dominated his communicative style. So I'd say to him, hi, how are you today? And he'd be like, thank you, teacher, thank you, please. It's like, well, no, that's not really the appropriate response. I appreciate your thanks, but normally when one says, how are you, the response is fine, thanks. And he was like, ah, oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this valuable, valuable lesson. It was funny for me anyway. Other students, I'd say, you know, and good morning to you. And they'd say, in my country, we do not say good morning. Only in my country, the land is cold and only the wolf can survive in the morning. Okay. All right. I'm just trying to be nice. And then someone else strolls in and they're like, hey, teacher! Teacher, I'm sorry I'm so late, but hey, you look good today. And I'm like, well, you're late, but I like you, so I'm not going to do anything about that. It's a crazy old game being an English teacher, that's for sure. And let's have a listen to this bit of music. Listen to that bass. Uh-huh. This is dub, if you were wondering. Oh, yeah. It's not just reggae. It's not just your Bob Marley best of compilation. This is stuff that was... See, the way that dub music worked, okay? And dub was really groundbreaking music. Oh, yeah. It was. It was groundbreaking stuff. These tunes were produced in the 70s, probably in some little studio in Jamaica. And you know reggae, I mean, like Bob Marley, of course, was like the most famous reggae musician ever. He was produced probably by, you know, some Jamaican producers. I think he was produced by the guy who did this record, actually, Lee Scratch Perry. I think Bob Marley's first record was produced by Lee Scratch Perry. Lee Perry had a studio in Kingston, I think, in Jamaica, and he had all sorts of different bands and musicians come through his studio. And what they would do is, in the studio, they would record the band playing one song, like a single. It could be Police and Thieves, for example, by Junior Mervin, which is the track you're listening to now. So the band would record a studio single. And then the producer, the guy who, you know, engineered the track and produced it and stuff, he would then do a remix of the track. And that would be the B-side of the single. So you get like a 7-inch vinyl single. Side A would be the radio version, and then side B would be the dub version. And that's really the producer using the recording, the multi-track recording, as a kind of mixing desk sort of cut and paste instrument of its own, and producing a brand new version of the song. Often they would like bring in different tracks, like they bring the guitar in and out, apply effects to the vocals, getting that echo effect and stuff, that kind of thing. Like bringing in little bits of vocals here and there. They would like cut the drums out, just have bass, emphasizing different aspects of the track. And these were the first sort of DJs or remixers as we know it today. These guys sort of invented a kind of music which is now totally commonplace. Now everyone is doing this. Everyone's like remixing and changing tracks and sort of mixing around with the mix as a way of producing this kind of head nodding music, let's call it. The sort of music that you listen to and you nod your head to. This would have been produced in probably the early 1970s. You hear that? That's just the bass and drums. The bit of guitar, bit of vocals. The guitar has got some echo effect on it. For me, the general effect is very pleasant listening experience. Yeah. Don't you think? This might not be your kind of thing. In which case, I'm going to try and find something that might suit you better. I don't know. I think there's probably a lot of people out in the world who like rock, you know, and I don't mean sort of... I say rock, I mean that's a very broad term. There's probably people who want different types of stuff. Let's see what I can find here. Okay. People who, you know, I know people like Pink Floyd, they like Black Sabbath and stuff like that. I'm bound to have something that's going to appeal to that section of my audience here. You know, I've got rather specific musical tastes. Some of you listening to this are probably like, yeah, I totally get it. This is my kind of thing as well. All right, I've got a tune here which is going to just... You're going to like this. Okay, here we go. And I'm mixing now. Mixing, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. Birmingham's finest, ladies and gentlemen, Black Sabbath. Tony Iommi on lead guitar. Tony Iommi used to drink in the pub where I worked when I was a teenager. I used to serve him beer. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Lead singer, Ozzy Osbourne, of course. World famous Ozzy Osbourne. In this track, Ozzy chooses to sing about a wizard. Black Sabbath were a bunch of working class guys from Birmingham, grew up in the 50s and 60s. They used to work in literally heavy metal factories, smashing sheet metal together in industrial circumstances. All day they would hear the sounds of heavy metal smashing against heavy metal. Then in the evenings they used to get together in the studio and make this kind of music. That's the birth of heavy metal. Tony Iommi, the lead guitarist, chopped off the end of one of his fingers in that factory. It was replaced with a metal cap. He had a metal cap on one of his fingers, and it actually affected the way that he played the guitar, creating that harsh metallic sound that we associate with heavy metal. So it's heavy metal in a number of different ways. Heavy metal because it's inspired by the sounds of heavy metal in their factory. Heavy metal because it's inspired by the sound of Tony's metal finger. And heavy metal because of the sound of the metal strings on the guitars and the drums and the other bits of the musical equipment. Played at great speed and at great power. We'll be right back. Oh, wow. Come on. That's brilliant, isn't it? Yes. Oh, hello. We've gone back. Here we go. That's more like it. This is the sound of a group called Booker T and the MGs. Oh. Yes, it is. These guys come from Memphis in Tennessee in the USA. They came from there anyway. And this has got to be one of the most famous bits of music in the world, doesn't it? Isn't it? Hasn't it? Wasn't it? Very simple stuff, but very, very hard to replicate. Just produced by four guys in the studio. Drums, bass guitar, organ, and Fender Telecaster guitar. In terms of rhythm and blues music, it doesn't get much better than this. It's absolutely classic. I think all you need in a track sometimes is that heavy backbeat. Bah, 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 bah. It just drives, it's so steady. There's such a tight group, it's amazing. Okay, so that was Booker T and the MGs with Green Onions. Now, I've just come across a folder in my hard drive here amongst my music, and the folder is just entitled Bukowski. Now, I don't know if you're aware of the American writer called Charles Bukowski, but Bukowski was an amazing writer and poet from the US, and he wrote sort of, oh, it's hard to describe, really. He was a heavy drinker. And he wrote sort of very sort of gritty and emotionally charged, tough working class stories about guys who sort of, I can't really explain it really. I'm just going to play you. All I've found is I think it's one of his poems. It may be being read by him. But let me play this to you. This is 3 minutes and 23 seconds long. It's just in my hard drive. I'm not that familiar with it, but I love Bukowski's work. It's so tough and well written, and sort of brutally honest. And there's something kind of nihilistic about it, and yet poetically beautiful. I'm just going to play you the poetry. And we'll see what he says. I don't know what he's going to say. It could be very rude. Sometimes Bukowski's work is very sort of shocking and sometimes people consider him to be a bit sexist. Other people think that he's got great respect for women. Sometimes he talks about drinking and sex and there's very rude language. I've got no idea what this poem is going to be, but let's listen to it.
The Life of the King. I awaken at 11:30 a.m., get into my chinos and a dirty green shirt, open a Miller's, and nothing in the mailbox but the Berkeley Tribe, which I don't subscribe to. And on KUSC, there's organ music. And I leave the door open, stand on the porch, walk out front. Hot damn, that air is good. And the sun like golden butter on my body. No racetrack today. Nothing but this beastly and magic leisure. Rolled cigarette dangling, I scratch my belly in the sun as Paul Hindemith rides by on a bicycle. And down the street, a lady in a very red dress bends into a laundry basket, rises, hangs a sheet on a line, bends again, rises, all in that red like a snakeskin, clinging, moving, flashing, hot damn, I keep looking. And she sees me, pauses, bent over basket, clothespin in mouth. She rises with a pink pair of panties, smiles around the clothespin, waves to me. What next? Rape in the streets? I wave back, go in, sit down at the machine by the window. And now it's Tchaikovsky's Violin Concerto in D. And a light negress in very tight pants walking a hound. They both stop outside my window, look in. She has on dark shades and her mouth opens a little. Then she moves on. They might have bombed cities for this or sold apples in the rain. But whoever did it, today I wish to thank them all the way. For those few of you familiar with my published work, these will be new to you because they are, these 20 or 30 or 40, the stack here I've written in the last 2 weeks, and I just read them off without lining. I don't know what's next. It's better that way, and it's easier to read new stuff. The old stuff gets tiresome. You know how it works. So, probably some baddies in here, but, you know, okay.
Okay, that was Charles Bukowski, and that poetry was about just, you know, imagining getting up in the morning and all just drinking a beer and sitting in the sunshine and looking at these women. I can't describe it. You just have to just listen to it again if you need to. Now I'm going to play you some outstanding music. This is Curtis Mayfield, one of the godfathers of modern music. And this track is called Pusher Man. And that's right, it's all about a drug dealer. Imagine a pimp in the 70s again. He's got his pimp-mobile, his car, and he looks smart.
I'm your mama, I'm your daddy, I'm that nigga in the alley. I'm your doctor when in need, want some coke, have some weed. You know me, I'm your friend, your main boy, thick and thin. I'm your pusher man. I'm your pusher man.
You need some English.
Super cool, super mean, feeling
was your name? Silent life.
Doesn't get much better. I know I keep saying that, but listen to that bass line. Songs Curtis Mayfield was like documenting urban life, you know?
Two bags, please.
Before they did it.
Make your world what you want it to be.
Before they did it in hip hop. Curtis Mayfield was doing it. To get mellow on Luke's English podcast from time to time. Imagine we're cruising around in some sort of car. I'm your pusher man. What do you need? You need some phrasal verbs, you need some idioms, you need a little bit of hint of vocabulary? Come to me, baby, I'm your pusher man for English. What do you need? You need some more English? Come over here, I got the good stuff, baby. Keep on coming back for more, folks. I've got the good stuff. I think I'm going to leave you on this one. And I'm not going to talk more than this. This is Victor Wooten, one of the greatest bass players in the world. One man, one bass guitar. The results are magical. I'm out, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to bed. Good night. Thank you.
Is a language. Both music and verbal languages serve the same purpose. They are both forms of expression. They can be used as a way to communicate with others. They can be read and written. They can make you laugh or cry, think or question, and can speak to one or many. And both can definitely make you move. In some instances, music works better than the spoken word because it doesn't have to be understood to be effective. Although many musicians agree that music is a language, it is rarely treated as such. Many of us treat it as something that can only be learned by following a strict regimen under the tutelage of a skilled teacher. This approach has been followed for hundreds of years with proven success, but it takes a long time, too long. Think about the first language you learned as a child. More importantly, think about how you learned it. You were a baby when you first started speaking, and even though you spoke the language incorrectly, you were allowed to make mistakes, and the more mistakes you made, the more your parents smiled. Learning to speak was not something you were sent somewhere to do only a few times a week. And the majority of the people you spoke to were not beginners. They were already proficient speakers. Imagine your parents forcing you to only speak to other babies until you were good enough to speak to them. You'd probably be an adult before you could carry on a proper conversation. To use a musical term, as a baby, you were allowed to jam with professionals. To music in the same natural way we approached our first language, we would learn to speak it in the same short time it took to speak our first language. Proof of this can be seen in almost any family where a child grows up with other musicians in the family. Thank you. Here are a few keys to follow in learning or teaching music. In the beginning, embrace mistakes instead of correcting them. Like a child playing air guitar, there are no wrong notes. Allow young musicians to play and perform with accomplished musicians on a daily basis. Encourage young musicians to play more than they practice. The more they play, the more they will practice on their own. Music comes from the musician, not the instrument. And most importantly, remember that a language works best when we have something interesting to say. Many music teachers never find out what their students have to say. We only tell them what they are supposed to say. A child speaks a language for years before they even learn the alphabet. Too many rules at the onset will actually slow them down. In my eyes, the approach to music should be the same. After all, music is a language too.
Thank you very much for listening to another episode of Luke's English Podcast. Would you like some more information? Yes, if you would like more information, just go to teacherluke.co.uk. More information. I'm sure that you'd love to have some more of that. I mean, you can never have enough information, really, can you? I'm sure that everyone out there in the world would like more information. And if that is the case, just visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.